Thank you, Lord. How's everybody today? Amen. Glory to God. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and say thank you. I think we're overflowing from Friday. Woo. You know, we are definitely in trying times, and the times will try you. Amen. And in these trying times, you know, even the Bible says, you know, don't be overwhelmed or don't be dismayed in any way, because the enemy is going to come and attack you and try you. Amen. It says count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It doesn't say if, it says when, right? How many of y'all know you go into a various trial? You know, God uses it to test us to see where we're at also. But he says he won't give us any more than what we can handle. So if he's not willing to give us any more than what we can handle, then the enemy comes and gives you more that you can't handle. Amen. And in that, the Lord says, I've come to bring life and life abundantly. Life and life abundantly. But the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, and a life and a life abundant is an area in the richness of knowing God, his promises, his presence, and his love and who he is. You know, you won't know who you are until you know who he is. It makes it difficult for someone to try to. You can't fake it till you make it. You can attempt to. You know, there's things that we do by faith in that area that we quote scriptures and so forth to try and impress him. But there should be a desire of the heart to want to touch him, to touch his presence. There should be a desire. That's why the word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, many people have never tasted the Lord. They never tasted the goodness of the riches and the fullness of his presence and his glory. And that's one of the things that you and I are to be heaven-bound. Everyone say heaven-bound. Heaven-bound. See, and there's that area where there are many who want to be heaven-bound, but they're still too earthly-bound to become heavenly-bound. And what we want to do is become heavenly-bound. We are bound to heaven. And in that, even though that we're going through things here, we're always looking through things, not being short-sighted. You know, when somebody says, man, I'm going through it. If they really understood what they said, I'm going through it. So many times people say, I'm going through it, but stay there. You know, when there is a way out, God makes a way of escape for everything. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 18. Matthew 6, 18. Somewhere around there. Matthew 6, 19. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. We were supposed to go swim with the manatees today, but they didn't show up. So we're looking for some volunteers to become manatees so you can swim in my pool. That way Viv can swim with them. Hallelujah. At Matthew chapter 6 and verse 18, is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There your heart will be also. You know, so many times treasures, we want to build up treasures in heaven, so because we are heaven bound. Amen. And in this that we are laboring, you know, the Bible says no working, no eating. So we know that there's laboring that we do, but what we labor for is we not only labor for now, but we labor for future, not just now. In other words, we're laboring for your future. What you're doing here is being stored in heaven. And one of the things the enemy wants to do is get you to a place where you are earthly bound and not heavenly bound. Because if he can keep you in an earthly state, then in an earthly state of being, that person is an individual that has fellowship with darkness. And who you serve when you die is where you go. But I've known Jesus 30 years. Well, if you'd known him 30 years, you wouldn't be doing what you do. Amen? You'd be earthly bound. So there's this area where we've got to begin to, I mean, you'd be heavenly bound. So there's this area where we've got to begin to look at that area of living from the future and not from the past. We live from the future by knowing the presence and the promises of God. That's why it's so important to worship. Anybody felt God's presence here today? Amen. The more you get into God's presence, the more sensitive you are. You know, we came from the presence of the Lord. That's where God sent us. That's where we came from. We came from God into this natural realm to fulfill a mission. And one of the things we want to do is fulfill the mission He sent us to do. In Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Do not be what? Say it again. Do not be what? Deceived. Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is what? Fear. Fear. Do not be deceived. God is not what? Mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now here it is. Are you ready? For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. So in this area of sowing and reaping, if you're sowing into the Spirit, that means cooperation. Without cooperation, you cannot be heavenly bound. Cooperation is producing the heavenly bound attitude, sense of focus, and even in the faith that you are heavenly bound. So what we sow is what we reap. If we're sowing in the Spirit, that means cooperation, we begin to cut loose earthly bondages. We begin to cut loose the things that are earthly bound, and we become heavenly bound witnesses. How many of y'all want to be a heavenly bound witness? Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. How many of you know it's not a coincidence that God has you here today? 2 Corinthians 4 in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Let's read it together. But even if our gospel is veiled, remember the gospel is a message of truth. It is the message of truth. It's a message of promises of God. So if it is veiled, if it is held back, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Christ's sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, everyone say treasure, in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. That means you're no longer reliant on your abilities and talents and strengths. You're relying on Him because you are heavenly bound and you acknowledge that He's the one that gave them to you all the time. See, He's always first now because you're what? Heavenly bound. No matter what's going on in your life, He's always first. He's always before you. Always. That's relationship. When you're in relationship with someone, that person is always there. When you fall in love, there's a relationship that's being built. And in that relationship, you communicate with one another. You expect to see one another. All of these things. It's the same thing with God. He first loved us. Now He asks us to love Him. And by loving Him, we build a relationship. So He is number one. He's always number one, no matter what's going on. And the gospel, the message of truth, is heavenly bound. It helps us. So if you don't know the word, how can you be truly heavenly bound? There'll be limitations on your life. You won't know the promises of God. Has everybody got this? You won't know how to fight. And God can't use you for the full purpose that we've been called to. You know, when I had my visitation with the Lord, I never believed the Bible. And the first words out of God's mouth was, "My Bible is true." Because I was told it was a story by a priest. And because I was told it was a story, I could never believe this Bible. I said, "I don't want stories. I want truth." And the Lord said, "That is true. My Bible is true." So if His Bible is true, why do we not know it? Why do we not read it? You know, this becomes a part of maintaining eternally bound, heavenly bound. Why? Because Jesus said something very powerful. He said, he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood shall have eternal life. When he said, eat my flesh, this is his flesh. The word became what? Flesh. When he says, drink of my blood, it means worship and drink of his spirit. Now you're eating of the tree of life. You're no longer eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You're eating of the tree of life, and you're denying yourself because you are heavenly bound, no more earthly bound. Is everybody okay? That means we are living from the future and not from the past, because we know the promises of God that are for us. In Romans chapter 8, listen, there's a lot of things that are about to happen in this world. We already see some of it manifesting already. We see the governments that have been turned over globally. We see the Antichrist and his army and all the other things beginning to manifest and unfold. And the Lord said that these things would begin to unfold in the latter times. And we're seeing it. So there's that place where you and I must become heavenly bound and maintain it. Or what you will do is you become confused, fearful, and all kinds of other things will start to torment you. You'll be concerned about the things that you have and loss. You'll be fighting for your own possessions instead of your eternal possession. In Romans 8, in verse 3, would you read it with me? It says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement, everyone say righteous requirement. That means there's a cooperation that you and I must do. It is called a righteous requirement. Now look at this. He says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. So what you're doing is Jesus came to fulfill the law. You must cooperate by maintaining that fulfilled law. So you live from the future and not from the past. It says, now look at, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh. That means you, an individual that's constantly setting their mind on earthly things, but according to the Spirit. So we are free from those things. We are free from condemnation by walking in the Spirit. Is everybody okay? Look at verse 5 now. Are you ready? Read this with me. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded, that means earthly minded, is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Wow. So there's that place where you and I must become earthly bound. Walking in the Spirit takes cooperation. We must set our mind in the things of the spiritual realm. Again, yes, we labor in the natural realm to live, but we also labor for the spiritual realm in what we sow and what we give. Amen? Because when we are spiritually bound, we have a purpose within us. Now, everyone here is called. You wouldn't be here if you're not called. That's an invitation. The word called also means you're called to battle. You're called to battle. Everyone here has a purpose. Now, we look at things in the worldly as sense of purpose, but there's a spiritual purpose. Again, your spiritual call is to battle. Your spiritual purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Now, everyone has a destiny. Now, people have a self-proclaimed destiny. They go to school, they go this, they work hard, they have a destiny. They're trying to leave things for their children, and so, but there is a spiritual destiny, and your spiritual destiny is to infiltrate the natural realm, the worldly realm, with your abilities and talents that God has given you so that you can go into places and be a witness of Christ. Why? So many could be saved. Paul said, I became many things that many could be saved. See, this is heavenly bound. Earthly bound has limitations. You can't see all the way through. You can't see beyond. Earthly bound means me, 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 and me. It's about me. It's about this. It's not about me and you. When you are earthly bound, it's about him. It's about kingdom business. Everyone say kingdom business. Not your business, kingdom business. So what God does is he gives us abilities and talents. He sends us to school. He teaches us these things. He visits us. He shows us. But that purpose is to infiltrate. Is to what? Infiltrate. Look, time is running out. We got to maintain that heavenly bound. In Colossians chapter 3. Is everybody okay? In other words, it's important that we begin to examine ourselves. Am I heavenly bound or earthly bound? Do I react or do I respond? Do I react according to the worldly ways or do I respond according to the kingdom ways? Am I living a kingdom life or am I living a worldly life? See, there's no gray areas. You can't serve two masters. Amen? In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, is everybody there? Let's read it together. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which where? Are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. If you've truly given your life to the Lord, then you don't have a life. He has bought you from Satan. He paid the price for you on the cross. He bought you. You're his. So your life has been given to him so that his life can be lived through you. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is in all and is all and in all. Look at, so many people justify themselves by being good. There's a difference. Good comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Good does not produce righteousness. There's a difference. There's an area where there's Christ's character, and then there's an area where there's a good character. So everybody got this? Only Christ's character is heavenly bound. A good character is associated with the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. So people justify themselves saying, oh, I'm a good person. That's got nothing to do with heavenly bound. In fact, good people are dangerous because they keep people earthly bound. I know that sounds weird, doesn't it? They're dangerous. Why? Because then people want to act like them to be good instead of being righteous. Is everybody all right? Oh, hallelujah. So we're to set our mind on things above, using the eternal wisdom and knowledge brought forth by the Spirit, so we can overcome the forces of evil that keep us earthly bound and proclaim us as being good. Good. You know, I tried to justify myself when I was in the world. I mean, I used to sell dope, so I was a good person. I used to lend money to people. I used to give them dope to sell and not ask for the money back. I was like Robin Hood. Stole from the rich and gave to the poor, but it didn't make me a good person. It might have made me a good person in the natural realm, but I wasn't a good person according to the eyes of God. I fed people. I clothed people. I helped many people when I was doing evil. And many of us have. But God did not get the glory. I did. Until I became earthly released and heavenly bound. Then he got all the glory and everything. Now I no longer live for me. I live for him. And his life that lives in us is to be expressed. Again, there are many things that are occurring in the world. Remember, Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. And fear will keep you earthly bound. In James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In verse 26. Is everybody there? Verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. So, see, you got world religions that feed, clothe, and shelter. but they don't keep themselves unspotted from the world. So they call themselves religious people. The Bible tells us about there will be many who have a form of godliness but deny the power of Christ, and from such people turn away. Religious people, not relationship. See, religious people are spotted with the world. They still live in the world. They call themselves Christians. They call themselves whatever kind of religion it is, but they're still associated and living in the world. And they are spotted. Their garments are contaminated. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them and do not touch what is unclean. Then I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters. See, in religious people, in this area of religious people where they are spotted and worldliness, there's a difference between relationship and religion. So they coordinate, they compare their relationship on their deeds. Is everybody with me? That's religion. We have a relationship, not because of deeds. I don't do what I'm doing for a relationship. I do what I do because I have a relationship. Has everybody got it? I'm not trying to build a relationship for what I'm doing. I'm not here standing before you decreeing the things of the Spirit for a relationship. I'm here decreeing the things of the Spirit because I have a relationship, and because the things of the throne room of God that are released with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding come forth to speak His word. Nothing that I can do in my natural state of being, only in the Spirit. And the same thing with you. In Colossians chapter 2. See, the enemy always tries to tell you, well, I can never get that way. You know what? Listen, if he can do it for me, ask my wife. She'll definitely testify. Plus, I have two other witnesses here. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Never let the enemy tell you, you can't. When he says you can't, you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But see, you got to know the word to be able to battle. I hear many people fight the devil with all kinds of, they shoot all kinds of names at him. Oh, Slewfoof and all of this other stuff. And he just laughs at him. Why? Because the word of God is the sword of the Spirit when it's spoken. You can call the devil all kinds of names, that ain't going to bother him. Actually, what you've done is just open yourself up to more spirits. So, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Let no one what? Cheat you of your reward, taking delight in what? False humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world. Why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to the regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. We see so much foolishness in religiosity, much division. We see certain areas of dress where people, you can't wear makeup, can't cut your hair, you can't do this, you can't do that. Supposedly having some, well, makes you more holy. Well, it doesn't. You can't go to church. Oh, if you only go on Saturday, if you don't go on Saturday, you're going to die. There's no relationship. You know, quite a few years back, they had a mirage. There was an image that was on a big building, and it was Sister Mary, Jesus' mother, when he was here. And she was on this building, and she was up there. This mirage was up there for about 2 weeks. People were flocking to go worship this thing. And I kept telling them, don't go. That's nothing but that's the enemy. It's the devil trying to betray you. Why? Because there's no one to the Father except for through the Son. People praying to saints, like it's okay. It's called necromancy. Yourself, open yourself up. And I'm telling you, the people that were warned and went, many things happened in their lives. Divorces, disasters, and all kinds of stuff. It's just a matter of time. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of Christ. Your relationship is with the Father and Jesus, not with any saints, not with any past relatives. I can't tell many people come and tell me, why was speaking to my grandma. She died 16 years ago. That ain't your grandma, man. That's a familiar spirit. Yeah, well, he told me to do this. You gonna listen to that demon? See, people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they do not discern. They don't know what is truth. They live in error. And you know what that prevents them? It prevents them to become heavenly bound. Because Satan's greatest weapon is deception. He wants to deceive you, to turn you away from the promises and covenant of Christ and the power of Christ. Hallelujah. Worldly religions established by demonic influence to keep people from truth, righteousness, and to be heavenly bound. They want you to be earthly bound slaves. 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, you got to ask yourself, are you a threat to Satan's kingdom? If you're not a threat to Satan's kingdom, you better be. Well, then you need to get things right to become a threat to Satan's kingdom. You know, one of the things that I think is so vitally important, you know, leaving a legacy behind to our children and grandchildren and so forth. Are we going to leave a legacy behind of good parents or good business people? Or are we going to leave a legacy behind of a man or woman of God? That's the greatest legacy we can leave our children, our grandchildren. You know, when I was a kid, my grandmother used to pray all the time. When I used to go visit her on Sunday, I'd go pray with her in her room. You know, some of these things I forgot. Where's grandma? She's in there praying. I had to go in her room and pray with her. I'd kneel next to her and pray. Although she was praying a rosary then, but it was teaching me how to pray. There was prayer, but no power. And it never left me. Then my other grandmother, come to find out, she spoke Italian, but she used to speak in tongues, and I never knew the difference. And one day my mother told me, oh yeah, your grandmother used to pray in that language too. I'm thinking, well, why didn't you? Well, because we stayed religious. Man, you know, that's all I needed to do. If my parents were spirit-filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit, my mess would have been brought home. They'd have laid hands on me, cast the devil out. Bingo! Start all over. I would have won the prize. Praise God. But because things of our family didn't know the power of Christ, they were religious. Man, I used to go to church every single day because I had to go to one of those schools, man. But I believed in God, didn't know the power of God. You know, and I knew the Ten Commandments by heart. So when I would go do something, I'd hear it, thou shalt not steal. Okay. Thou shalt not lie. Yeah, I got that one too. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I know. But I had no power. I had no power to say no until Christ came. Until I truly gave my life over to God. And I said, I can't do this. I tried to be a good person, but it ain't working. I need you. Then the righteous fruits began to manifest. Not just goodness, righteousness. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. Look at this. It says, for the time has come for judgment. Everyone say judgment. To begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, that's us, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him and doing good as a faithful creator. As a faithful, in other words, there's judgment. We're seeing judgment already. Judgment comes before wrath. The judgment is to awaken people. That's why we're seeing all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, come on, California's burning, Central America is flooding, and the East is, who knows what it's doing, I don't know. Typhoons, tornadoes, and all kinds of wild stuff. You know, people do not understand that many of these disasters come after certain events and celebrations. You know, when the government approves a same-sex marriage, I can guarantee you in that state something's going to happen, and it always does. When they approve certain things that are against God, certain events begin to happen. Judgment is in the house of God to expose so that we can cut loose of earthly chains and become heavenly bound. And Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 28. 6:28. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much clothe you, O you little faith? Therefore, do not what? Worry. Worry is another word for fear. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, or where shall I work? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, the world seeks. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek what? First, the kingdom of God. Now look at this. First, seek the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. And all things shall be added to you. See, many people are asking God for something, but they're not seeking the righteousness. So they're not producing righteous fruits. Oh, God, I need this. Well, man, why don't you go worship me for a while and get some that garbage out of you? Why don't you quote my scriptures? Why don't you get fed with my word? Hello? Why don't you eat of the tree of life instead of still eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? When your fruit produces righteousness, I will release my promises. See, God works on this. You do this, and he does that. When he said to me, when I said, Lord, I need help. He said, Guy, do you want to be set free from drugs and alcohol? You don't want a new life. I thought about it. I said, well, I've been trying to get set free from drugs and alcohol for a long time. It ain't working. I want a new life. And I knew when he asked me that I had to let everything go in my life and be dedicated with him, sold out completely, so that he could deal with me according to his will. And I said, I want a new life. Well, I can tell you that his next request of me was kind of shocking. Instead of saying what I expected him to say, you know what he said? Show me you want a new life. I went, whoa. I mean, you're not just going to give it to me? No. Show me you want one. And when you show me, I'll give you one. In other words, he was asking me to do something, wasn't he? So everybody got it. That's called cooperation. Show me. I'm going to shoot this thing. Need one with Velcro. So I was like, show you. Okay. So the first thing I did was I checked in a detox. I said, I'm going to show you I want a new life. Man, I got out of detox. I went home and locked myself in my house. Of course, everything was gone. Pawned everything. There was nothing left to use. Had no running water, no electricity, no nothing. And the girl that tried to stay there got thrown out. Everything was gone. You're out of here. Everything. I'm going to show them. I'm going to show you that I want a new life. Did I still have demons? You bet I did. I didn't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior yet. But I can feel, I sense the draw of God. I sense him drawing me. And I did whatever it took. And then one day I accepted him and he came and visited me and delivered me and healed me for about 2 months. But it took 2 months to show him. See, sometimes God is saying, show me. In other words, the word says, after you've completed, then I will release my promises. See, you didn't get saved until you repented. So you had to repent and then accept him. Then you're saved. So there's that cooperation. You do this and he'll do that. Amen? Hallelujah. So he says something very powerful here. In verse 31, he says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all of these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But first seek what? The kingdom of God. Do you seek the kingdom of God when you're worshiping? Yes. Do you seek the kingdom of God when you're seeking truth? Do you seek the kingdom of God when you pray? Yes. See, when you make connection, there's an exchange. There's always an exchange. It says, therefore, now look at, and then all of these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. Fear is earthly bound. Righteousness is heavenly bound. 1 John chapter 3. You know, I always love how the Lord challenged the rich gentleman. When a rich gentleman approached him and he said, you know, Lord, I tithe, I feed, clothe people, I do all of these good works, Lord. He said, that's good. I like that. All right, sell everything you have and come on and follow me. Oh, wait a minute. You know how hard I work for all this? He couldn't follow the Lord. And the Lord said, I'll give you so much in heaven and I'll even basically restore what you gave here on earth. But he couldn't see past what he had already had. You know, I'll never forget when the widow gave 2 bits. She didn't give out of her abundance. She gave out of her lack. And the Lord acknowledged that. He said, look at all. Look at this. This woman has given out of her lack. she needs food and whatever. But she gave, and yet he said, you give out of your abundance. He honored her and dishonored the other. Does everybody understand that? Because she gave out of her heart, didn't she? In 1 John chapter 3, in verse 1, is everybody there? Let's read it together. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not, what? Know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we shall know that when he is revealed, we shall be what? Like him. Can we even comprehend that? We'll be like him in that state of being and who he is. Because we are not earthly bound. This is not your home. Quit fighting for your earthly boundness and start fighting for your eternal boundness. For we shall see him as he is, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him, abides in him, abides in him, is that area where you pray, where you worship. You're abiding in his word, you're abiding in his presence, and you're abiding in his fellowship. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Verse 7, little children, let no one what? Deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So that's been passed on to me and you to continue to destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. It doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake, but you are covered under the blood when you what? Repent. Because you're very quick to repent. You know, Lord, I'm sorry. I got in the flesh. I said something I shouldn't have said. I'm sorry. Why? Because you have a relationship. See, in this relationship, you're walking. If I'm walking with my wife and I turn and step on her foot, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, because we're close. See, when you're close with the Lord, when you say things and think things that are not right, there's a quick arena of saying, forgive me, Lord. Why? Because you're so close. And we don't want a long-distance relationship with the Creator. We want a close one. And that takes practice. So you've got to sow that relationship. You've got to start sowing. You've got to be disciplined. Discipline leads to relationship. Relationship leads to a love affair. So you've got to maintain that discipline. You can't go by what you feel, what you think. You must do what's right before him. He's not the God of feeling. He's the God of truth. Amen? Ooh. In verse 10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice what? Righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 5. Almost done. About 9 more scriptures. All right, 6 more. 1 Peter chapter 5. Is everybody there? Everybody okay? Are you learning something? Are you getting it? Are you getting prepared? Are you beginning to examine yourself? Where you be? Who's in your mirror? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, let's speak it. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. God resists the what? Proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 8, this is powerful. You ready? Be what? Sober, that means be what? Alert. Be alert. Be sober. Be alert. Be vigilant, that means be consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. See, resisting him in the faith means that you have the shield of faith. But that shield of faith, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. So if you're not doing the word of God, your faith, there is no shield. You try to do it in your own strength. Has everybody got it? The word of God increases your faith. Praying in tongues increases your faith. Worship increases your faith. In verse 10, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what? Suffered a while, perfect, establish, and strengthen, and settle you. Settle you to what? So that you're immovable. So that you are consistent. So that you are alert in everything. Look at this. Go to Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. See, the enemy again wants to keep you earthly bound. You know, I've heard this saying, you're so heavenly bound, you're not earthly good. So what? Let me tell you something. Yes, there is a balance, but I'd rather be more balanced towards heavenly bound and earthly bound. Hello. So you want to be heavenly bound. Heavenly bound, seeing things all the way through. Living from the future, not from the past. See, the enemy always wants to get you to live from your past. He wants to remind you of all the things you've done, things you should have done. And I'm not saying those things don't come up, but don't dwell there. I mean, there's things that I wish I would have done differently, but it ain't going to bring me back there. Okay, praise God. I didn't, so be it. Okay, I learned from that. Amen. And Revelation chapter 12 and verse 8, I think. No, verse 9, I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Where is he cast to? Hello. And then I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the what? Blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. So the devil and his angels are earthly bound. They are in the atmosphere here. This is where they've been sentenced. They're in the ground, in the atmosphere, and on the earth. And they want to keep you as slaves. They want to infiltrate and keep you earthly bound instead of heavenly bound. Why? So you cannot be a witness of heavenly things. And Mark 16. Mark 16. Is everybody there? In verse 16. Mark 16, 16. And he who what? Believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe, what's the word believe mean? Follow, will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Come on now, is everybody there? What does it say? In my name they will cast out demons. You know that every one of you here should be able to cast out a demon if you're following. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. That doesn't mean you're going to go to college and learn a language. That means you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's infiltration, isn't it? That's being a sign and wonder. Is that the character of Christ? Amen. Didn't a third of his ministry when he was here was casting out devils. He was exposing them and removing them. People were getting healed. Go to Matthew 16. Listen, I tried to shoot a demon with a gun. Didn't work. I used to chase them all over my yard. People would hear my gun going off. I took a mini grenade and chased one up the attic and almost blew the top of my roof off. It didn't work. They were still there. I used to get so angry with them because they used to move my dope around. I used to see them. They were living in my home. They used to stand at the end of my bed with red eyes. My curtains used to move. All kinds of things moved. I used to hear their voices. Till finally I heard two angels. And these two angels that were in the corner, and they said something. And they said, look at what he's doing to his life. Somebody was praying for me big time. I ran out of that room. It's amazing. I ran into the room where the demons were, and I ran out of the room where the angels were. Because I was full of demons. I used to see their families and everything. People's faces used to turn demonic. Almost killed my bodyguard. Thought he turned into a demon. He did. Hallelujah. In Matthew 16. Is everybody there? Everybody okay? I know I'm letting go of some things today, so praise God. Yes, I was not born this way, you know. I was born again this way. And that you can ask my wife again. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, very powerful. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to 16, or let's go to 14. And it says, that Jesus asked them, who do men say that I am? In verse 14, and they said, some say that you're John the Baptist, Elijah, and others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? It's personal relationship, isn't it? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. You're the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Again, he said, you are the Christ. In other words, you're the anointing. You're the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, who's come into this realm, manifested in the natural realm. Verse 18, and Jesus said, and I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock, that word rock means revelation. It has nothing to do with Peter becoming a pope. There was no such thing as popes. And on this rock, Peter, I will build my church. How many of you know that a church, a building, is built on a foundation? Amen? The foundation is the anointing. It's the eternal presence and power of truth of God Almighty. That's the foundation. That's why Jesus came. He came to bring a foundation so that the body of Christ could be built on. It can never be built on a man. Has everybody got this? It's not built on a man. People are going and kissing the feet of the hand of a man and cursing themselves. That man ain't got no power at all. He's a religious idol. And they lead people astray. They prevent that relationship. They keep earthly bound, not heavenly bound. And on this rock, on the revelation that I am the anointed one, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will do something here. Look at this. And I will what? Give you keys. What's a key do? Locks and unlocks, doesn't it? And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, the foundation through the anointing, the gates of hell cannot prevail, because there's a foundation of the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, the presence of God. And he says, I'm going to give you the keys. And these keys are to bind. Why? Because you bind spirits with these keys. You loose individuals with these keys. This authority has been given to me and you when you are backed by the anointing of God Almighty. That's why the word says, and you shall go out and cast out devils. What are you going to do with them? You're going to bind strong men, high-ranking demons. You're going to bind principalities, powers of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places. We must be first strikers or we're struck. What an awesome thing to have the keys of the eternal kingdom of God and not even know they're there, collecting dust, never using them. Trying to fight your way through spiritual battles with emotion, with anger, with frustration. It don't work. Guns don't work, I can tell you that. Grenades don't work either. The foundation of anointing, the keys to bind and loose demonic spirits that keep us earthly bound. Look at this. This is powerful. I love it. Matthew 10. Is everybody okay? Matthew 10, verse 34. Let's speak it together. Look at this one simple scripture and how powerful it is. What did Jesus say? Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. Has everybody got that? So will there ever be peace on earth? Not until the Prince of Peace comes. But they'll tell you peace, peace, won't they? They'll tell you they're trying to promote peace everywhere. They're trying to do this. They're trying to do that. There can never be peace on earth. Never. Until the King of Glory, the Prince of Peace, comes. He said, I do not think that I've come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a what? A sword. And what's that sword for? To cut you loose from earthly chains that keep us here. The sword is known as the sword of the Spirit. That is the word of God that is spoken out of your mouth when you are backed by the anointing. Not peace, but a sword. Not peace, but a sword. That's why we have that booklet of penetrating prayers. That becomes a sword to penetrate. Those are some penetrating, powerful prayers. Cutting loose the stuff. 1 Peter chapter 4. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4. Then one more scripture. heavenly bound, not earthly bound. Laying your treasures in heaven, not on earth. Hallelujah. In verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. Would you read it with me? But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For the love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. And if anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability with which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. And I want to close at 1 Corinthians 15. Heavenly bound. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Is everybody there? 1 Corinthians 15:50. Heavenly bound. This is heaven bound. Look at this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Why? Heavenly bound. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall he brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, or hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Heaven bound. A lot of things are happening. We don't want to be misled. We want to stay led. And those who are led by the Spirit are known as sons of God. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I pray for each and every one here today, Lord, that your anointing will continue to penetrate every area of their life, that your word that was heard today will penetrate their spirit, soul, and body to cut loose all the chains of earthly bondage, that they may be free to be heavenly bound with a thirst and hunger to want to know you, to please you, to serve you. As your word says, what good is it to have all the things of the world and lose your soul? Lord, have mercy on us. Now may the blessings of the Lord keep you. May his face shine upon you and his countenance uplift you. May the Lord grant you favor and may the Lord visit you in Jesus' name. Now prepare your hearts for communion and you can bring your offerings up.